definitely something that we all need. And since we're talking about to live for Christ or to live as Christ, let's talk a little bit about that life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." See, in order for us to have a life that we could say to live as Christ, we have to crucify this flesh that we have. Now, thankfully, we're not talking about a literal abuse of the Bible, abuse of the body. The Sadducees had a sect of them they called the Bleeding Sadducees. They would walk through the streets and they would beat on their bodies and they would cut themselves open in the street, just whipping on themselves or cut themselves with bits of pottery as a display of them hurting themselves because of their piety. Now, I don't know where they got that idea, but thankfully it's never asked of us in the Scriptures. It's not something that makes sense. We are talking about a spiritual or a very hyperbolic crucifying of the flesh, one where I tell my flesh no, and I stop the flesh from growing or developing in strength. Now, again, we're not talking about this, but we're talking about the sin nature within the flesh. We are putting that thing into check. Could be as easy as maintaining your impulses. Could be as easy as being able to stop a sin or stop a bad behavior. But either way, this old fleshly desire of ours, we've got to hang it. It cannot be something that has the main control over us. Many people, as we would see them today, to give in to their impulses are not a very bad thing. Until they've gotten to the point of giving into those impulses so often and so much that it distorts their level of behavior, right? Not everybody in jail today who are guilty, not all the guilty people in jail started off that kind of a person. They didn't. They started off as cute little boys and girls running around. Somebody probably called them a good student at one point or another. But because they allowed the flesh to have the dominion, their impulse, their sin nature to have dominion, it brought them to a place where they were comfortable doing certain behaviors that completely debilitated and destroyed their lives. And I'm here to tell you that each and every one of us, no matter how faithful you have been up to this point, could fall into that manner of behavior. That's why we've got to be careful. We've got to be very wise in our decision making. We have to crucify the flesh. We looked previously of all the things that the flesh would produce. We could consider them weeds in the garden of your mind. Things that crop up. Things that destroy the ability to produce good fruit in your life. There are things that choke out life. There are things that hurt just not just you, but they can hurt other people in your life. We've got to be very mindful with the decisions and the actions that we participate in. And of course, we understand that there is great conflict between what God would want me to do, what I would like to say I would want to do, and what I then turn go and do. So the works of the flesh, they're produced by my sin nature. That long list of things that we looked over, they're produced, they are desired of by my sin nature. They are self-centered and self-directed, right? You consider, you know, somebody goes in, they rob a gas station, they smack the clerk around a little bit, they grab the money, and they take off. They're doing that for selfish reasons, right? I'll talk to people all the time, particularly children, as we're trying to raise them. Why did you do that? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you why you did it. Because you wanted to, right? Why do we do anything? Because we want to. Oh, well, the devil made me do it. My flesh made me do it. Yeah, no, you wanted to, so you did it.
and there wasn't enough spirit inside of you, you weren't strong enough spiritually to consider that action and say, this is wrong, I'm not going to do it. So there's a level of maturity that we miss when we sin. We should have better control over ourselves, because ultimately those impulses, those sinful directives, those things have selfish motives and selfish reasons behind them. God's laws are against these things. The things that God tells us not to do are almost always the things our flesh wants to do. We'll sit there, we'll laugh at a child. Don't push that button. And there's that kid. We laugh about that. But how many people hearing God say, thou shalt not, sit there and go, well, that's hogwash. I'll go do that. And many people are like that. I sat there, I talked to somebody just recently. It was a cousin of Danielle's. Actually, it was a cousin and the aunt, and I'm talking to them, and they're like, well, a large part of what we're doing here is just because we're kicking against societal norms. So because this is the way God says it should be, you're going to do the opposite to prove a point. Yeah, because we're tired of it. We disagree with it. Okay, all right. Well, I tell you what, God says you got to breathe oxygen. Why don't you go ahead and put your head under the water? Take a big deep breath. Well, that's me. No, I don't want you to do it. I want you to honor God. But you don't want to honor God. You want to show him something. You want to prove something? Go ahead. But God gave us the law of gravity. Start flapping. Come on. Really show me your power over God. I mean, honestly, you look at the science of things here on earth. There's a lot of stuff happens. Don't make no sense, does it? Isn't it so convenient we got a thing called gravity on this great big spinning rock we're on? Right? Isn't that convenient? I tell you what, if even down to the temperature, if the temperatures were off certain amounts of degrees, we would either fry or freeze. Go ahead. Play with the laws of nature and never ask yourself who wrote them. Never ask yourself who put them into place for your safety and protection. We can't just sit there and say these things are harmful to my body, so I'll not do them, right? Oh, I won't walk out onto lava, and I won't try to carry heavy rocks under the water. I won't do those things. But when it comes down to spiritually dangerous things, because there's not an immediate threat to my life, I'll just go ahead and keep doing those. It's a joke. To rebel against God is to incite not just his chastisement, but to wrap your arms around a destiny called hell, where you are not only going there because of your sin nature, but you're doing the best you can to prove that you're denying God to get there. So we must be mindful of this flesh, because this flesh, it don't make a lot of sense. It don't do anything good for us. Those impulses, those desires that are driven by your carnal nature, they ought to be kept into check and they ought to be crucified. Now we flip the script, we go over to fruit of the Spirit. They are produced not by the body, but by the Spirit. As we look at the things that God commands for us to do, they make very little fleshly reasoning. I was reading just yesterday about the Bible's directive that we must feed the poor. We must take care of them, look after them, give water to those that need it, food to those that need it. And I'll tell you what, that doesn't make a lot of sense from a carnal perspective. Why should I open up my pantry to you? Why should I give you a cup of my water, given that I worked so hard to get it and you did not? Why is it that I prepared for this or prepared for that, but it doesn't make a lot of sense from a carnal perspective. But from a godly perspective, it makes all the sense on earth. What about this? You know, we consider our church. We have a relatively peaceful church. We don't have a lot of problems. There's not a lot of drama that goes on. At least not that I'm aware of. I thank you for not making me a part of it if I'm wrong. But we don't have a lot of that. But the Bible says, go out into the highways and the hedges and preach the gospel and bring them on in. Well, wouldn't that cause trouble and disturbances and discomfort? Yeah, you're right. From a carnal perspective, that don't make no sense. But from a godly perspective, there's a command. Right? The things that are in us of a spiritual nature. They are of the Spirit, produced by the Spirit, and make no sense from a fleshly perspective. But I'll tell you what, it makes the world go round. It makes life better. One person caring for another. Us carrying out the directives that God has given us. And as we saw as we were reading through the fruit of the Spirit, God has no laws against any of these fruit of the Spirit. Isn't it funny how the things that are kindly to you and me, the things that produce good things out of you and me, God's got no laws against. But it's the things that'll steal your money. It's the things that'll hurt the people in your family, in your house, and in your neighborhood. It is the things that'll destroy your body. Those things God has a law against. Isn't that weird? God can be so narrow-minded and mean sometimes, can't he? The things that he keeps us from. And nowadays, we've really gone off the rails. Well, how dare God say that there's only two genders? How dare God say that every life that has ever been conceived ought to be brought to fruition if it's healthy enough? How dare God think that this is what a family is? A man and a woman leaving their families, cleaving to each other, bowing down before God in marriage and raising a family together if God blesses them with children. How dare people be so narrow-minded? These are good things. These are good things. You don't believe me? Go out there. How many kids have been abandoned by their fathers? Huh? We even got a phrase nowadays. It's a despicable phrase, but we've got it. The baby mama. You ever hear that phrase? I got a guy, well, I got three different baby mamas now. I'm in real big trouble. You fool. You ought to have made a commitment. If you ain't ready to do daddy things, you ought not to be doing daddy things. You know what I'm saying? If you're not ready to be a daddy, you ought to have made a commitment to the mom. You ought to have been there. You ought to have stood up. Well, does that mean I got to stay in a relationship? I tell you what, if you're going to have a physical relationship, you ought to have an emotional relationship there too. There are reasons for it. Why do we have, I tell you what, let's go on down to that prison I talked about earlier today. Let's talk about how many of them have relationships with their fathers. And I ain't talking about dads needing to be home 12 hours a day sitting there with the kids. Dad's got to work. I understand that. But dad, you ought to be in the situation. You ought to be available on the phone. Here I am making the money, bringing it back to support the needs of the family. If we had listened to God, we would have less problems. We go in there, what kind of relationship do you have with your dad? Well, I never met my dad. My dad ran out on me. My dad this, my dad that. That's why you see so much, Mother's Day is coming up. That's why you see such an inswell in these prisons of people buying Mother's Day cards. But when it comes down to Father's Day cards, they don't have a lot of them. Why? Because that's how you end up there. If only we'd be so narrow-minded as God to do what he'd asked us to do, society would be a whole lot better. We'd have a lot more people if moms and dads did their business. If they followed God's directive in raising kids, there would be a lot less emotional problems out there because we'd have taught them stuff. I was talking to somebody recently. They're one of those people that don't like to tell their kids no because they don't like to upset their kids. Well, we try to raise them in a home with no anxiety. I tell you what, if I raise my kids to where if the word no brings them anxiety, they ain't going to make it in this world. They ain't going to make it. I don't raise my voice to my kids because if I do, it'll make them nervous. You're right. They should never be nervous up until the day they go out there and their boss is screaming down their throat because they're late for this assignment that they were supposed to turn in. And they completely fall apart and they quit their job. And next thing you know, what? That baby that you raised is out there, unable to feed themselves, not able to clothe themselves because they got somebody said something to them a little too harshly and their nerves fell apart. See, we don't have emotional dysfunction. We never taught them. Something can't misfire if it was never built. Does that make sense? We're not teaching them how to handle these emotions. We're not teaching them. Why? Because we're busy. Busy what? Fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Staring into the TV, staring into the telephone, off drinking this and smoking that. And hold on, mommy needs a break. She needs to go out to the garage for a few minutes to smoke on this a little bit. Hey, no, listen, why don't you go over there to the daycare for 12 hours a day and we'll come pick you up, drop you in front of your tablet and the television, feed you a microwave dinner and we'll call it a day. No, spend time building the things that God has given you. we need to crucify this flesh. There's no rules against the good things that God has given us. Why? Because they are by nature good things. What about caring about what happens at your church? What about caring what happens to you spiritually? Your Bible reading, your service, all the things that God has commanded of you. What about those things has ever done you any wrong? Because I'll tell you this, I've never had a bad time because I read the Bible. I never had anything bad happen to me because I prayed. But I'll tell you this, I'd have to fix a lot of mistakes because I refused or I just plain old didn't adhere to the Word of God. Because my heart was removed from Him in that situation, either by distraction or because of how long it's been since I spoke to Him, I have had to pick up a lot of messes. There's a reason why the things that bring us spiritual fulfillment are not against God's directives. Because they are good for us. And to have a decent heart, if we're referring to the heart as a garden, where you've got things that produce good fruit and you've got things that produce bad fruit, you need to be purposeful in the growing. I've told this story before. It was a few years back. Back when we bought our house down in Southgate, there was a garden box back behind the garage. Danielle was so thrilled with that. But it was right when we had Caspian and Xander, and Gideon was just a baby, so she was in the thick of it. But she was going to go start this garden. Well, she figured she could wait about a week, week and a half. Now, don't pick on her. Again, you'd have to have been in our house to understand why she didn't get back to that garden, okay? She planted the garden. I dug everything up. I put down fresh dirt in there and got everything prepared, chicken wire and all the stuff you would need. And she planted and went about a week and a half, didn't go back there. What happens if you don't tend to your garden for a week and a half? Some of it's going to die from dehydration. Some of it's going to get ate up. And a lot of it's going to be overgrown by what? Weeds. Let me tell you something about your heart. You don't care for your heart like you'd care for a garden. It doesn't take long for the weeds to grow. You ever sit there and go, now, where did this plant even come from? Where? Look at that. How did that even get here? Look how tall it got. How did a problem get this? You ever see just, you go out there, there's a monster weed out there, and you're just, how'd that get here? How'd it grow so fast? I was just out here a little bit ago. Your heart could be like that. Where did this sin come from? Where did this problem come from? Right? All of a sudden you've got this contention in your life. You got this problem going on. Whatever have you. This weed cropped up. This horrible, ugly thing that's listed here in chapter 5. This terrible thing. Where'd it come from? You weren't mindful. And what must then be done? Do we sit there and bemoan the fact that weeds have sprung up? Or do you get down there and dig those weeds out? All right, hey, listen, here's this conflict. Here's what God would have me to do with this conflict. Let me get rid of this real quick. Hey, here's this sin. You know what we're going to do? We're going to shut that down, make sure that that doesn't become a bigger problem. We're going to pull that out. We're going to treat the ground. Whatever it is I've got to do to make sure that doesn't happen again. We've got to grow mindfully in the garden of our hearts. Because weeds, they'll grow all by themselves. Isn't that weird? You'll sit there all day trying to grow this beautiful flower or get this crop of corn or tomatoes or whatever it is you're growing, peppers. You'll sit there, you'll care for that. You'll study that. You'll water that just as directed. But weeds don't care. They'll just show up. Isn't that weird? We can't eat the things that just show up so easily. But I tell you what, that is a good metaphor for us. See, sin, the things of the flesh, they'll just show up. Because of your sin nature, you don't need much encouragement to get sin to grow in your life. And it doesn't matter how great of a garden you have. It doesn't matter what your name is in the gardening community. It does not matter. You could show up with the biggest, brightest, most beautiful tomatoes, the best peppers in all the world, the greatest of cucumbers. It doesn't matter. If you've got weeds in your garden, they will ruin you. So many people, they pride themselves in how well they look and how great things are. And look, I've got this fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit. But all of a sudden, there'll come a day when some things are found out about them. And everybody will be so surprised. They'll say, oh, how could that have happened with them? They're supposed to be so wonderful and good. Here's the fact of the matter. It doesn't matter how wonderful or good you're perceived to be. You can still grow weeds without having to try. The effort must be on the removal and the prevention. You don't put the effort in on the prevention, you're going to have to put your effort in on the removal. And if you don't do that, be prepared for trouble in your life. Be prepared to have some major regrets. So we've got to be mindful in how we grow. We've got to pull those weeds out. We've got to put all the effort we can into growing the proper things. But it all boils down to how much control I have over this. We have to have precision control over this instrument, don't we? We have to. We slip a little. We slide a little. We'll end up doing some terrible things. And some folks, they get themselves into such a state, it's not an accident. They are willfully going out there and doing tremendously awful things and leaving messes for other people to have to clean up. We had a neighbor one time so let their garden go in the back that the weeds cropped up, grew out over into the yard, started coming over into my yard. Things I'd never seen before just growing in my backyard. And I'm not super particular. I'm not going to pretend that I'm Mr. Lawn Guy, But just, there it was. What'll happen if you don't keep your garden? You'll ruin the gardens of others. You'll hurt others. And I think being in a position where you as a child of God has hurt another person in that way is a travesty because it so betrays the purpose that we're here for. I saw a quote the other day, and it wasn't a very polite quote, so I didn't do anything with it, but it says sometimes one of the best ways that you could give the gospel is by being a Christian out loud and not being a jerk. And some people are like that. They're willing to cuss people out. They're willing to cheat on this and steal that and be this kind of a person, yet still sit there and I didn't wear a tie. They straighten their tie and say, oh, what a good Christian I am. Oh, how saintly I am because I am a member of this church or that church. Down there at the funeral, ran into some relatives and they said, well, are you a Baptist? I said, yes, sir, I am. What kind of Baptist? Are you a regular Baptist? I go, no, better. I'm an independent Baptist. Doctrine's better. Wow. You got to be careful with some of these convention Baptists. They'll sit there, steal your land, slaughter your hog, slap your daughter, but because they're a regular Baptist, they're a good guy. You got to be careful with some of these convention Baptists. You got to be careful with a lot of Christians who will sit there and okay their sin by the fact that they're in a pew on a Sunday morning. If you ain't crucifying the flesh, you're going to have a messed up life, and that is a fact. It must be true all the way through you. And there can't be any parts you hold back. There can't be any selfishness. And anybody who sits there and thinks that their salvation means that there is something wonderful about their character, untouchable now about their character, they don't understand salvation. I'm a sinner. That is why I needed salvation. That is why the Lord came and died on the cross for my sins. And just because he saved me don't mean that I'm all of a sudden sinless. As a part of modern day Christianity, nobody could call you a sinner anymore. You're part God now. We're all God's. God's no sinner, so no one can call you a sinner anymore. I beg to differ. Right? We hear that up in heaven, the New Jerusalem will have a street of gold in it. The guy who preaches that we are all gods, Joel Osteen, somehow kept his gold in the bathroom wall. Figure that out. All right, there's a difference. The guy who is sitting there talking about the love of God and the power of God and how great it is to serve him, how powerful he is, don't make no sense when he runs off with his secretary. Don't make no sense when you find out kids in that church are being hurt by him. Right? Don't make no sense. You are a sinner. You need to be aware of it. Not so you can feel bad about yourself, so that you can put some protections in place. Right? I'll give you this illustration. My dog. Love my dog. I said that I can call him from anywhere in the house. He'll be outside. Then he'll say, he won't come in. All right, pop the door open. She'll pop the door open. I could be in the basement. I'll whistle for him. He'll come flying into that house. Love that dog. He's gotten out twice. And every time I've called him, he's come flying back over to me. But you wonder why I got around my backyard still? A fence. Why? Because he's an animal. He's gonna go chase a squirrel. He's gonna go chase after some food he smells. That nose of his is gonna get him out in the middle of the road. I know it for a fact. So what do I have? I've got a fence. Now here's what I know about me. I was born a sinner. Now I've got control over this, right? Just like my dog. Hey, when Matt calls, I get over there. I got that same kind of mind. Lord, you tell me where to go, I'll go. Lord, you tell me what to do, I'll do it. But there is still something in me that is dangerous. Something in me that craves things I ought not crave, that drives me to things, impulses I ought not have. Right? Somebody says, they say something smart, you want to smack them. That ain't right. Right? You're driving in the road, somebody cuts you off, you got something to say you ought not say. You ought not have thought about. That ain't right. Those are the wrong kind of cravings, the wrong kind of desires. I know that that thing is in there. And I got to be real careful. There was a preacher said, every Christian's got a beast inside of them. And what you got to be careful of is that thing don't come out. You got to make sure that thing stays crucified. Nailed to the cross so that it cannot influence your life. Now, this is where a lot of more carnal-minded people would sit there and say, so does that mean I can't have anything that I enjoy? Does that mean I can't give in to anything? No. You wake up in the morning, you want a plate of eggs? Go for it. You wake up in the morning, you want a Pop-Tart? Go for it. We ain't talking about that. We're talking about sin. We're talking about things that God says not to do. Well, I got up this morning, I felt as though maybe this summer we'd take a vacation on over here for a week. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you driving down the road and that impulse hits you to go ahead and holler about something or somebody, to sit there while you're at work or while you're around family members to say something awful and disgusting. I'm talking about that sin nature coming out. You got to put that thing in check. God gives you lots of blessings. God allows you to have a lot of enjoyment and fulfillment and great things. And go ahead and experience those things, those family vacations, those impulses to build or to shape new things or to participate in different activities. That is not what we're talking about. We are talking specifically about that sin nature compelling you to sin. You crucify that part of you. All right? And I'll even tell you this. You crucify that part of you, those fun things become a whole lot more fun because you ain't got to deal with your sin while you're out there, right? You ever go on a trip and you're arguing with your spouse? Isn't that miserable? Right? You sit there, rah, 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 rah. Get all the way through that thing. You sit there at home and you're unpacking and you're washing the clothes. Hey, wasn't that a good time? Look at these pictures we took. No, we crucify that portion, that part that wants to sin. Right? Well, remember when we went down there, we were having a good time, we were taking a picture out in front of that thing, and then Dad got into a fist fight with so-and-so? You crucify the flesh. And those things become sweeter. Right? So if I have precision control over what is growing in my heart, I will have precision control over what my body is doing. Right? Because again, I want to remind you, and I know we're late, but I want to remind you, this body don't act on its own. Understood? It don't act on its own. We do what we want, as this lesson says, because we want to. What we have to do is we have to fix our want to where it doesn't get us into trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for your word, grateful for the book of Galatians. Lord, these words that were written, Father, I pray that when you look into our hearts, you see the fruit of the Spirit growing and not anything else. Lord, help us to prune, help us to weed, help us to do right by you in all the things that we do. Lord, our life should be a reflection of our gratitude. And I pray, Father, that's exactly what you see. And Lord, if not, I pray you bring about repentance and structure. Lord, help us to crucify that flesh every day. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.